Hey, Arizona, Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell, on AM 1330, The Jolt.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, dishing out the latest buzz on the local restaurant and entertainment scene. And now, to help you get ready for the weekend in style, here's your host, Matt Russell.
And what a delicious Thursday afternoon it is here, fellow foodies, on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. And in fact, as our good friend Nicole just gave you an indication of, we are indeed going to get you ready for the weekend in style, because we're going to get you ready to go downtown. And this is part one of a two-part series of shows that we have packaged up just for you, to give you a sense of the opportunity and the wonder and the mystery and all that awaits you in this special place called downtown Tucson. And I've invited my good friend from Alliance Beverage, the lovely Jessica Nenadic, to join us in this two-part broadcast, because, you know, it was really your idea in the first place, wasn't it?
Yeah, thanks, Matt. And I just really wanted to sort of share with Tucson, and sort of experience firsthand on my own, what great things are happening downtown. We, you know, people who live in areas that aren't downtown, really, we don't get a chance to experience this. So I hope that you listen and enjoy and experience it just as we have.
This is great. We had a blast doing this, so walking the streets of downtown and popping in and out of our favorite places, some new places. We learned some new stories, got to know one another a little bit better, and shared some childhood moments. So without further ado, we invite all of our listeners to sit back, relax, and join Matt Russell and Jessica Nenadic as On the Menu Live goes downtown. Well, here we are beginning our tour of downtown Tucson, and as we are talking, the Saguaro trucking truck is coming back down this way, delivering all the goods and services to people all across downtown. But Jessica and I have decided to start our walking tour of Tucson right here on what is now really become known as the East End of Congress. And why are we starting the tour here, Jess?
We're starting here because I feel like this is the foyer into downtown. You're coming up from 4th Avenue. You can take the trolley or you can walk under that beautiful new bridge. You know, you're coming east from the east side of Broadway, and now you're heading west toward Congress. And we're really, really just standing near the historic Hotel Congress and looking over at the University of Arizona, and we're looking down Congress Avenue, and we can really, really just sort of get a sense of what downtown Tucson is, what it used to be, and really what it will become.
That's great. So we're standing right under the beautiful marquee signage of the Rialto Theater. I've had a lot of fun going to shows at the Rialto. You know, the Rialto in and of itself has really had a renaissance over the last couple of years. A lot of money being spent to sort of revitalize and renew the facilities. I've seen some great shows there, really juxtaposed against the backdrop here of the Hotel Congress, again, an institutional place here in Southern Arizona. Let's go ahead and take a walk.
Excellent.
So what do you see as we're walking down? I mean, Hotel Congress, the signage there on the north side of Congress as we begin our walk west, really is one of the iconic kind of marquees in Tucson, is it not?
Absolutely. And you know, at night when it's all lit up, the Hotel Congress sign is lit up, and you see the street signs, and down a little bit farther, you can see the Fox Theater sign lit up. You just really get a sense that you're in downtown Tucson. Now, Matt, this building up here, as we're approaching the Martin Luther King building, you know, my grandfather actually lived there when I was a kid. So I have a little bit of a more, emotional attachment to this building. But now it's apartments, and there's this beautiful shopping center sort of built on top, you know, in front of it. It's just amazing.
So you've been in Tucson a long time, and for you to be able to see, and you're a native, right?
I am.
So you've really seen the downtown area come alive, and you know, as we said at the beginning, there's been this renaissance downtown. People have been talking about downtown revitalization, downtown renewal for so long, but really not for the last, you know, year has it been where people have really started to invest in downtown. We're going to hear the stories of a lot of people who have been involved in that, but you take a look around, and one of the things that strikes me is that it's such a kind of an efficient, the traffic is moving beautifully, and it's very clean down here as well.
Yeah, I really do feel a sense of comfort when I come down here. You know, I've been here, going on 40 years. I'm a native. I just adore this area. But there was a time, you know, when it wasn't so comfortable to come down here, where it was confusing, one-way streets and not a lot of parking and not a lot of access. And I just really felt like it was time now to sort of get back into downtown and really kind of feel what it is. what it is becoming. It's really actually very exciting.
Right, walking around downtown with Jessica Nenadic from Alliance Beverage. I can't imagine a better way to spend a beautiful Tucson afternoon. We're going to be having a lot of fun, the two of us, for the next couple of hours. I can't wait to see what we're going to be tasting and what we're going to be sampling. This is going to be a lot of fun.
It is, it is. And I just wanted to point out to you here, as we're standing on the corner of Congress and Fifth, there's this great exhibit of King Tut. And I, you know, I've been wanting to take my kids to do this, and this is sort of the heart of why we're doing this, is to get people into the area, because there are exhibits. There are more than restaurants and cocktails, but there are exhibits. There's history. There are museums. And I think we'll be talking to Michael Luria of the Tucson Children's Museum here pretty soon. Just a real reason to come and spend a family day down here at downtown.
Yeah, the Rialto Building is a special place. I took my family down here for the Titanic exhibit. Again, I didn't even know that this building actually hosted traveling exhibits, so this is a lot of fun. What do you say you and I go get a cocktail?
Okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, here we are on a very busy Saturday night. It's about 10 o'clock at night, and we're here at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails at 135 South 6th Avenue, just a block south of Broadway, and we ran into my good friend, Chef Janos Wilder, who's agreed to spend a couple minutes with us. What's going on, Chef?
Matt, thanks for coming into Downtown After Dark. We do this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, live music, half-price bar menu. It's the place to be.
Really is the place to be, and it's so busy around here. Everyone's having such a great time.
It's going on here during the afternoon, too. We do a traditional happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m. every day, half-price bar menu, drink specials, and then lunch, dinner, stay for late night. It's happening all the time here.
All with that unique Janos twist, whether it's the great food or the wonderful things happening behind the bar. We just can't get enough of downtown.
Thanks, Matt. So give us a call, 623-7700, or go to the website, downtownkitchen.com.
That sounds great. I think I'll go get a drink. Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
So how can you possibly come to downtown Tucson with food and beverage on the top of your mind without coming to the destination, the place that actually started the downtown community from a culinary perspective, and you come into the open arms of El Charro Cafe. And here we are, honored to have at this very table the man behind the magic, Mr. Ray Flores. Hey, Ray.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Nice to have you back. You know, we tore it up a little bit at Cerveza's a while ago. We got down to Sarita and see what you guys have done down there to kind of extend the legacy of the El Charro story down south. But, you know, we thought we're coming down here to get a sense of what all the opportunities are downtown and to give our listeners a sense of all the kind of the destination opportunities and the performing arts and the museums. But, of course, people come down here for the food. And you guys know better than anyone how to make a great meal down in Tucson. Give our listeners a kind of a refresher course on why downtown for the Flores family and what this place means to you from a historical perspective.
Well, downtown's why we're here. I mean, the building that the original El Charro sits in actually was my family's home. Built in the late 1800s by our family who moved here from France, actually. They were headed by a man named Jules Flynn, who was commissioned by the bishop at the time to build Tucson's first cathedral. He was a master stonemason, came from France, built the first cathedral, was known for his use of black lava rock, which is the foundation here. You'll see the same work at the old main building on the university campus, around the Presidio Park, etc. His daughter, Monica, fell in love with the Mexican folklore lifestyle of the charro, which is the showman cowboy, and the cooking style that they used back then. Put her little French accent on it, and went from there. That's how El Charro was born. So downtown is really the home of El Charro. I mean, for lack of a better word, it is truly the home of El Charro.
You know, we talked about a little earlier in the show about how downtown has really come into its own over the last year or so. Look, I've been in this community off and on for 30 years, and downtown for a long time was a place that you really didn't see people coming to. You see people sort of going away from. How do you respond to this renaissance in the downtown community, especially on the culinary world?
Well, I'm really glad to see it. I don't know if it's a renaissance in the truest sense of the word. It's probably a really long period of puberty, because I tell you, I'm been doing this or been around Tucson now for 40 some years. We moved here when I was just a child from California to take over for Monica, who was hospitalized and had no one to leave the business to. And downtown right then and there in the late 60s was going through what we call urban renewal. In my family, we call that cancer, because urban renewal is what killed the original location, which was down by the TCC, and they basically kicked her out. They claimed eminent domain on her property and kicked her out of her building, and she had nowhere to go. She was an old lady, and this house was her home, and she ended up being put in hospice. By doing so, they bankrupted the business, basically, and my family took it over as a bankrupt, in a bankrupt state, and came back and brought El Charro back to life when my mom moved here in the late 60s, early 70s. So it was a long struggle to get back to any kind of reality of a restaurant. And since then, you know, we've worked our butts off, if you will, and they have. My mom and dad poured everything they got into it as downtown was going through all these various transitions. So finally today, it's really nice to see that there's some great people that have come downtown and opened shop. We hope it sticks. But sometimes you know what it is? It's small business having the guts to go against the grain. And that's what's made downtown possible now.
You know, Ray, I think that you hit sort of the nail on the head in that we want to call it small businesses, and we want to call it sort of, you know, Matt says renaissance, you said a long period. What do you see as the future, just from your perspective, because you have been down here, you have sort of seen the ebbs and flows of what downtown Tucson has been through, as have I as a native. So where do you see the longevity, and where do you see downtown going?
Well, you know, I think the nice thing, I think one of the biggest things they did was they connected 4th Avenue to downtown in a really nice way. I think the underpass there they created, well, it may be designed incorrectly according to what I hear, but it's a very nice pass-through for young people and whatnot and those out at night to walk up and down and have a real connectivity to downtown and to the 4th Avenue, more of a university culture. I kind of go back and hope that someday it's like the Promenade in Santa Monica or something to that effect, where there's sort of a different end, or even Sunset Boulevard, which, you know, I grew up in L.A. back and forth, and I was talking to one of the developers, a friend of mine, Scott Steitler, who's developing a lot down there and has helped with Hub and whatnot. And Scott and I were talking about, you know, you kind of have the west end of Congress, which can be the more rock and roll side of like Sunset Strip was with the Whiskey Go-Go and things like that. And then you kind of have the east side of Congress, which can be the nicer area where Chateau Marmont was or you know, some of the more high-end retail. I kind of look at Congress having that opportunity to fit a wide spectrum of cultures. And if it does that and the landlords don't get greedy and start overcharging for rent or trying to pull a real estate scam on everybody and doubling up, then it'll work. The minute that these guys, however, if they get in here and they expect to start tripling their money versus just having a nice, safe return, it's going to hurt the small business. Because right now, in this economy, what we have to do in food and beverage is nearly give it away. And the landlords have to know that, and they've got to make way for that for a while so that we can get out of this kind of dead period.
Speaking of things that work and what it takes to make things work, you have made Mexican food work in this community since 1922, I think. And when you think about the fact that Tucson really is the, I think, international capital, I should say the domestic capital of Mexican food, you know, there's a wide range of culinary approaches to Mexican food. You get the Nouvelle folks, people that are doing all kinds of crazy, flourishy things. But when you think about authentic, traditional Mexican cuisine, the pathway leads to El Charro. Give our listeners a sense of how you look to approach an encounter with your customers to give them that kind of authenticity from a Mexican food perspective.
Well, I mean, number one, we try and stick true to what Monica, you know, had in her food. The way we do our beef taco, we don't change that for anybody. There's a lot of customers, well, what happened to the crumbly ground beef thing? I'm like, look, this is how they were made 100 years ago before there were fancy deep fryer baskets. The carne seca that we still dry on the roof, which is a huge cost and effort for us to maintain that consistency of what it once was. Still keeping enchiladas sonorenses on the menu, which aren't the biggest sellers in the world, but we keep them on there because they are part of our culture. Having a lot of things handmade, but also what we've done is we've gone out and we've modernized some things because we realized that we couldn't divide a chef 10 ways or split them in half if we wanted to grow. So we had to figure out systems to do that. And we've worked really hard at that. And at the end of the day, we're customers of, we love food, we love restaurants, we go in there, we look at what people are doing. We know we make mistakes, but we work hard every day to fix them because that's part of the game. and it's what the game we enjoy.
Yeah, you mentioned those tacos. That's what I eat all the time. And those charro-style tacos, I think I can down about three of those. And then to wash those tacos down, I think Jess Nedetic knows about what you guys are doing in the world of tequilas and other spirits. What do you like behind the bar, Jess?
Well, you know, as much as Ray is like very traditional and very sort of roots-oriented with the food, I think what actually is sort of the antithesis to that is the really modern and nouveau approach to the cocktails. I mean, Ray, I know you've written a couple books about tequila. You guys have a tequila section based on quality, based on exclusivity, and based on how those tequilas mix in cocktails. What? I'm sorry, I probably just stole it. What's your cocktail philosophy?
Well, I mean, there's bang for the buck, which I always tell people. Look, you know, when someone asks me, well, what's your favorite tequila? Well, that's kind of like asking Jim Click what's his favorite car. When you have a wide variety to choose from, it's hard to pick. Well, we have a wide variety of tequila to choose from, so it's hard to pick. But I would guess it kind of comes in classes. For making a margarita, I think there's some great silver tequilas that make great margaritas. When it comes to sipping a tequila, and you really want have, you know, it's one that you're going to spend your money on a week, 1942, Don Julio is one of my favorites. Herradura makes a great line of tequilas. Don Julio's family makes a great line of tequilas. And then companies that have been under attack, like Cuervo, for being commercialized, have come out with some cool stuff like La Familia. And then, you know, you can't beat Patron Silver for just making a knockout great margarita shot drinking tequila. There's some newer stuff that's come out. I know Cuervo's come out with one. I know Sauza is coming out with one that's a Sauza Blue, which we are actually starting to carry more of, 100% agave, but at a price point that's more affordable because the juice has come down in price. As anything in this economy, there's some good things that come out. It's not like gasoline that they raised it. There's actually the juice has cost lower, so they can do some nice stuff at a good price point.
Talking to Ray Flores of El Charro Cafe right here downtown. Remind all of our listeners exactly where you're located and the best way as you approach downtown to navigate yourself right here to experience El Charro.
Well, we're on 311 North Court Avenue, which is two blocks west of Stone off of Franklin. And the best way to come is when you come down Stone from the north side, you come down Stone headed south, take a right after you exit that underpass. Don't go down there in a truck that's over 8 feet, 8 inches, though, because you'll get stuck. And take a right on Franklin, and two blocks, we're on the corner of Franklin and Court.
And you're right here at El Charro. Jess, this has been fun. I think I want some of that tequila.
Oh, I definitely would like some tequila. I'm so excited to be here.
The party continues. Thanks, Ray Flores, for everything you and your family have done in this community.
No, likewise. Thank you, Matt.
So here we are downtown, Jess, and we happen to run into one of our very best friends, certainly no stranger to On the Menu Live. We happen to run into Michael Luria, the executive director of Children's Museum Tucson. What a great time to sit down and get caught up with you, Michael.
It's always a great time to be downtown and to see friends such as yourself. So what a wonderful surprise.
Well, we're taking our listeners on a virtual tour of downtown Tucson. Downtown Tucson has really, really come into its own. There's been this renaissance, this revitalization of the downtown community. But the Children's Museum really has been such a landmark destination for family fun here downtown. I've been taking my kids to the Children's Museum for years. Give us an idea there where you are on South 6th, what's going on.
Well, first of all, downtown is vibrant and growing and evolving, and it's fantastic. And the Children's Museum Tucson is happy to be part of that evolution. We've actually been downtown since 1991, and we're located in the historic Carnegie Library. So we're on South 6th Avenue, 200 South 6th, just below 12th Street. And things are great at the Children's Museum. It's our 25th anniversary this year in 2011, and we're celebrating in a variety of ways. We have some new exhibits, something called Airbrush, where you can paint electronically with a magic wand. We have our new technology exhibit that was powered by Cox, and where you have arts, culture, and literacy through the prism of technology. And on the food scene, we have a new collaboration with Chef Janos Wilder in Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails. We have a brand new community garden where we're growing produce all from native seed search in the garden, and then once that produce is ready to be cultivated, it'll go to Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, where it'll be used in a dish, and a dollar from the sale of that dish is going to come back to support the programming at the Children's Museum Tucson.
What a wonderful community collaboration that is, to really get children and families involved, to have really one of the world's best-known chefs, Janos Wilder, involved and interacting with the families, and to be able to actually have some of that stuff available at the restaurant is really something extraordinary. When you're thinking about the garden and the kinds of produce and herbs and spices and those kinds of things, what are you going to be featuring there at the garden that ultimately is going to make its way over to Downtown Kitchen?
There's going to be some melons, some squash, some corn, some tomatoes, a whole variety of vegetables, a lot of beans as well. And it is a great collaboration. I think it's really important to give children and families in Southern Arizona the opportunity to really make the connection about how food is grown and how it ends up on your plate. Because it's not about going to the grocery store and just picking it up off of a shelf. It has to be cultivated. It has to be grown. It has to be tended to. So for them to come down and see it being grown and watch the evolution of the process here at the museum, and then to be able to go enjoy it with a renowned chef such as Janos Wilder. And we're only located about 50 yards apart, and so it's a great collaboration. And that's really one of the things the museum prides itself on, is creating partnerships and collaborations. Oftentimes it's with our fellow nonprofits. In this particular case, it's the great opportunity to do it with Janos.
That's great. And one of the sort of the hallmark feelings about the Children's Museum is across programs, it's your interactivity. You try to provide an interactive encounter for the children and the families that come into the museum. And I think this garden project really is a manifestation of that commitment to interactivity that you have, because you're really giving everybody a chance to get involved in this project and do so in a way that's going to put great food and great tummies across Southern Arizona.
Absolutely. And everything we do, we really want to make it hands-on and interactive. We think that's really important. There's enough static things going on in the world. Get out there and get interested and get involved. And we want children and their families to work together. And the garden is no different, where they'll get a chance. In fact, one of the things that we do at the Children's Museum is we have school tours. We call them adventure learning programs. And we have a health and wellness school tour. And one of the things that we'll be doing is integrating the garden and a visit to the garden into that health and wellness tour. So it really comes full circle. It's like a 360-degree approach.
Michael, how do you get your kids involved? My kids love gardening. They love dirt. Most kids do. How do I get my kids involved in this program? For instance, is it a week-long program? Is it a daily program?
In terms of the garden specifically, it's coming down to the museum and seeing just firsthand what we're doing. And as we replant the garden, which we will do several times during the year, we will announce that on our website and on Facebook and things like that. So kids and families have the opportunity to come down and get their hands dirty and actually participate in the gardening. But while it's growing, it's a little bit more just of an educational process, just to see what's growing and seeing how it's going, and also be able to see what grows well in our environment, because we do have a bit of a harsh environment, which is one of the reasons we're working with Native Seed Search, to be able to really focus on ingredients and items that will grow.
Absolutely. And it's really important. I know my kids love it too. It's really important to sort of understand, like you said before, where your food is coming from, that it grows in the earth, that it's healthy and nutritious, and then working with a chef that can actually prepare that food and make it delicious for kids. I don't know about you, my kids are pretty good, but kids can be picky eaters. So something like that at the Children's Museum to sort of gain this understanding and knowledge of how to make your body healthy is really important these days.
It is important, and we're always looking for ways to do that. And one of the ways we do that is with Fun with Food Fridays. So it's actually not always on a Friday, but most often. And we'll be doing that again in July. And that's where we go, and we partner with Tucson Original Chefs. And they come in and they do very simple cooking demonstrations with kids. So again, not only in the garden aspect, they'll get a chance to see produce being grown, but with the Fun with Food Fridays and those cooking demonstrations, they'll get to do hands-on activities where they can make a simple dish. It isn't about creating some, very complicated, lengthy dish. You can take very simple ingredients and mix them together and have a wonderful experience.
So this Fun with Food Fridays, basically I could bring my kids down on a Friday evening and we could sort of just walk through the process of creating a healthy, nutritious meal from things that you may grow in the garden, and then by a chef that would make things delicious and kid-friendly. That's great.
Yeah, and again, look for that this coming summer in July, and it's included in the price of admission to the museum, and because they are so popular, it's first come, first serve, so when you see that announcement, call and sign up and come down with the kids.
Okay, so can you go on the website and sign up for these programs, or do you go down there or make a phone call?
Well, when you see it on our website or on Facebook, then you can call and sign up. So we're not taking sign-ups quite yet because July is still a little while off, but go to our website, childrensmuseumtucson.org. We're also on Facebook, and we have a Twitter account as well, so follow us and join us on Facebook and watch our website, and we'll have more information.
Michael Luria, Executive Director of Children's Museum Tucson, longtime Tucsonan, family foodie, everything you and your family have done in this community, we continue to celebrate year in and year out. And, on behalf of my kids and my family, I can't thank you enough for everything you've done here downtown.
It's our pleasure, and thank you very much. And, we like to say the Children's Museum Tucson is where imagination and learning connect. So come play with us and come learn.
CNN Radio, I'm Shelby Lynn. Another budget battle is brewing on Capitol Hill, and President Obama hasn't even signed the newly passed 2011 spending plan into law yet. The Senate and House both passed the plan today. House Speaker John Boehner had trouble with 59 Republicans who refused to support the bill, and instead he relied on Democrats to get it passed.
I'll tell you that this is the best we could get out of divided government.
The House is set to vote on an even more controversial 2012 budget proposal tomorrow. The Storm Prediction Center says a dangerous line of severe weather is whipping through parts of the central U.S. tonight. In Kansas and Oklahoma, tornado watches are in place. The State Department is accusing Iran of helping the Syrian government suppress anti-government protests over the past few weeks by providing gear used to suppress crowds and equipment and technical advice for monitoring and blocking email and cell phones. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Honda has recently learned that our Really Big Thing sales event is causing some confusion. It seems that after seeing really big donuts in our TV commercials, some people have gone to dealerships hungry. Sorry, we don't have big donuts, just really big deals, like 0.9% APR financing for qualified buyers on a new Honda Civic or a new Accord named Car and Driver's 10 Best a record 25 times. Hurry, the Really Big Thing is only here for a really short time.
Car and Driver, January 2011. See dealer for finance details. Ends May 2nd, 2011.
The Home Depot has the only interior paint rated number one 2 years in a row. Behr Premium Plus Ultra Paint and Primer in One. So, those stripes on the living room wall? Covered. Kitchen's burgundy walls need a lighter shade? Covered in about half the time, leaving you with years of beautiful true color. Thanks to the only interior paint that's rated number one, Behr Premium Plus Ultra. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Paint rated by leading consumer study. See store for details.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Hey Tucson, check out downtown Tucson's newest hotspot. Hub. Lively, fun, and delicious Hub offers genuine made-here fare in an updated historic setting. Real rotisserie meats and classic deli sandwiches, flaky pot pies, burgers, and dogs. Hub has something for everyone. Hub's homemade ice cream is a new citywide favorite with eclectic flavors to sit and enjoy or grab and go. Hub's happy hour is every day from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And if nightlife is what you crave, Hub is open till 2 a.m. every day, offering cocktails, beer, and wines on draft, and a late-night menu in the Hub Lounge. Located in the heart of downtown on Congress Street, Hub has its own parking lot for free and easy parking at any time of the day. Call 207-8201 or stop by Hub at 266 East Congress Street 7 days a week. Visit hubdowntown.com. Daytime family fun, nighttime urban vibe. Hub has it all. hubdowntown.com.
Discover a warm, intimate, and inviting hideaway in Midtown Tucson where you can meet people and explore new wines. At Catavinos Wine Shop and Tasting Room, located on Alvernon Way, just south of Fort Lowell, we offer more than 350 premium wines from all over the world, all priced under $15 a bottle. Each week, our wine tastings will give you the opportunity to sample a flight of wines alongside some delicious artisan cheeses. And our tasting room is the ideal venue for your next private party or special event. We also stock the latest wine accessories for making the most out of your wine experience. Finding a great bottle of wine for $30 is easy, but discovering a wonderful wine for less than $15 is an art. Let us do the work for you. Catavinos Wine Shop and Tasting Room on Alvernon, just south of Fort Lowell. Come see us today or give us a call at 323-3063. That's 323-3063.
When local businessman Ron Yaeli traveled across Mexico more than 15 years ago, he was captivated by the taquerias that lined the streets of villages and towns. That's where the locals would go for the freshest food around, thoughtfully prepared and cooked right before their eyes. It was then when Ron decided to bring this concept to Tucson with the bold and fresh flavors of the Mexican taqueria. That was then, and La Salsa Fresh Mexican Grill is now. Stop into any one of Ron's 6 La Salsa locations and taste for yourself what Fresh Mex is all about. Steak, chicken, shrimp, and fish tacos, fajita quesadillas, grilled burritos, enchiladas, crisp salads, all prepared to order with the freshest ingredients. And then there's the salsa bar with 8 handcrafted salsas made fresh every day. Try all 8 or combinations of each to discover your very own salsa personality. La Salsa Fresh Mexican Grill on Grant and Swan, Speedway and Wilmot, Speedway and Country Club, Ina and Oracle, Campbell and Fort Lowell, and University in Euclid. There's one near you. I'm Matt Russell, and I love my La Salsa Salsa.
Well, coming in off of Congress, you know, this new place has opened up, and Jess, you and I had to sort of make a stop in to the location of 266 East Congress. You know, we got a little thirsty, and we had to libate, and you had this great idea to walk into this great place called The Hub.
The Hub. It's really an amazing spot. You know, truth be told, I've been here before a few times. And it's just really this off-the-beaten path for the location, but you walk in and it's just got this amazing urban, it just draws you right in with this amazing urban feel. But not only that, Matt, they serve ice cream. So not only cocktails and wine, but they serve ice cream. So what do you think of that?
Well, I think a lot of that, because I actually had a chance to sample a little bit of the salted caramel ice cream that Kevin behind the bar decided to introduce me to, because I'm a sodium kind of guy. As a matter of fact, I enjoyed something on the menu called a Nathan and Mark, which was, get this, Jess, Maker's Mark bourbon and pickle juice in the same glass.
Yeah.
So he noticed my passion for sodium, and he said, you know, I think you'd like this salted caramel ice cream, organic ice cream. And I said, yes, please. I almost wanted to dump that into the Maker's Mark and pickle juice just to give myself a silent eye. You say absolutely no. But anyway, we're honored to have here the man behind the magic here at The Hub, and all of our listeners know we had Cade Myslinski on our show right around Christmas time when this idea was just that. And now sitting here live now in The Hub to experience this is really quite something. Kate, how's it going, brother?
No, it's going great. It's been a great 8 weeks.
It's 8 weeks? You guys have only been open for 8 weeks?
Yeah, 57 days today.
57 days today, but who's counting? So, you know, I've been down here, I should say, a couple of times since you opened, you know, sort of later nights, and I've been really attracted by the buzz that this place has attracted. But I also should say, it's not just the downtown buzz that you've contributed to, it's the Southern Arizona sort of culinary conversation that you've become such a strong part of. What do you think about Hub that has contributed to all of this rave reviews across Southern Arizona?
That's really hard to say. We're blessed with the response we've been getting the last 8 weeks, and I think the big thing for us was making flavorful, not fancy food, and not trying to be a gastropub or farm to fork or any of that concept, but just be a real restaurant and just have real food. And honestly, I'm trying to relive my childhood away, Matt. So having ice cream and having hot dogs and having that kind of food on our menu, and seeing the people come in, you know, seeing the 80-year-old couple come in and act like they're on a first date again, getting beer and then having ice cream, seeing lawyers and judges go back, not hand in hand, but going back, going back with, not quite like that. Seeing the movers and shakers, but also seeing everyone come in, the kids after school, seeing the soccer moms come in, and then seeing the hipsters come in or whoever you got at night, the lights go down, that kind of thing. And it's really we want it to be a place for everyone to come in at different time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've talked about kind of this destination experience for people of all walks of life. And I remember when we had you on the show in December, you were really all about sort of quality meats, ice cream, and 24 beers on tap. But as I'm taking a look at the menu here, I mean, when you say, you know, sort of comfort food, you have this sort of idea for what that means, but you guys have sort of taken that to the next level. Talk a little bit about your menu here.
You know, people say, wow, it's amazing that you're combining all these things together. For me, it's all a real simple concept. And it was meats, ice cream, and beer when I talked to you. Now it's meats, ice cream, vegan, vegetarian, draft, wine. And then, you know, we have about 20 flavors of ice cream, and we switch them out every day. It's about the mac and cheese. It's, yeah.
How can you possibly change out? You change out your ice cream menu every day?
almost every day, and there's going to be future flavors. The bourbon almond brittle stays, the oatmeal cookie, the honey ginger, the salted caramels, probably the ice cream that's really leading the charge. And people have been coming in saying, hey, I'm from here, I'm from there. People tell me to come in and try this ice cream. Some people love the texture. You know, when you put a lot of salt in ice cream, you're not going to freeze it the way you do the other ones. It's the same thing with liquor and high sugar ice creams. So
I understand you're putting a hot dog, you're wrapping a hot dog in pastrami. What's that all about, Kate?
It's, you know, living downtown, my favorite place to eat is different carts around town. My favorite right now is Reese Brothers at 6th and 22nd. They double wrap their hot dogs with bacon, so I thought maybe I'd do a thick slice of pastrami and do that. We're actually changing our bread from Alejandro's, so we have the bloate bread, the hot dog bun. So
absolutely delicious.
We're going to grill our bun. But it's every day. We're changing things and we're listening to people. You know, our Facebook has been great, and people think it's just to promote the restaurant, but really it's to change and make Hub better for everyone.
That's what I love. What's going on in the cocktail and wine world over here at Hub, Jess? What do you see that you are fascinated by?
Well, I'm fascinated, and I actually am thrilled to announce that they have wine on tap. That was one of the first things that I was just like, go-cade, because basically the concept of tap wine in kegs, that you pull the tap and the wine comes out versus opening a bottle, if what goes in that keg is of high quality and is of amazing flavor, what's going to come out of that keg is high quality and amazing flavor time after time after time. And you don't run the risk, and it's a very smart business decision, you don't run the risk of throwing out the wine from the end of a bottle when you don't sell it. You know, so really, I'm just so impressed by the wine. What was your philosophy behind Wine on Tap?
The philosophy was take I seen it done in bigger cities and also in Europe. And my start was, hey, I'm going to try 8 wines on draft. I'm going to get high quality juice. I'm going to offer it for $6 to $9 a glass, which is a savings. If you got it by the bottle, same juice, it would have been $9 to $14 a glass. If it didn't work, I changed those into bare taps. 90% of my wine sales are draft. And actually in about 12 weeks, we're going to switch all of it. I'm going to add 8 more drafts. And we're hopefully with the other guys in town, we're making waves with Frog's Leap, Long Meadow Ranch, Saintsbury, Paul Dolan, N2. All the big wigs in wine world are catching on to it. Scott Woodward is catching on to it. We're going to have an Albarino in keg. Whoever thought we're going to have Albarino, Gruner Veltner, all these Tempranillo, Sangiovese, and it's not about the wine coming from the appellation, but it's about the producer being proud of it, but to put their own name on it.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating to know sort of that these wines are, they're fresh wines, they're wines to be consumed immediately. They're not necessarily to be aged, although they can, but when you put it into a keg, you're not really going to age that wine. It's going to stay in the keg and it's come out fresh. And you know, one of the producers that I represent, the Long Meadow Ranch Sauvignon Blanc, I mean, what goes into that keg I know is 100% organic, 100% biodynamically farmed, and really just the halls out there are doing an amazing job with the wine. So I'm actually enjoying a glass right now, but I'm just really so impressed by that. And I want people to kind of sort of grasp that, because you know, if somebody like you is going to do it and you're going to be real successful with it, you know, our grandfather's boxed wine is not that. It's not kegged wine.
Well, you have that, but you don't have, another thing is, I haven't had one glass sent back to me because it wasn't fresh or whatnot. You know, maybe there's other choices. We don't have 3-day-old wine here. So from that point, the guest isn't getting stale wine. They're not getting TCA. And also, you know, I'm turning the other guys onto it. You know, Metzger's are getting onto it. I mean, more so, they want more taps and whatnot. 47 Scott. So same with beer world. If more people want the beer into a city, you're going to get these guys really paying attention to us. And I think Arizona as a whole and Tucson, we're going to get better wines and more wines. And it's going to make sense to people because the consumer is getting a savings of $5 a glass. And then also happy hour is 11 to 6 every day. And it's $5 glasses of wine. So, you know, you're getting a $9 glass of Pinot from Saintsbury for $5.
a great wine program, a great happy hour. What Kevin is doing behind the bar is nothing short of extraordinary. And a pastrami wrapped hot dog with this great rotisserie program here at the Hub downtown. I can't thank you enough for helping to be a part of the success of this neighborhood. And it can sort of look to you and say, if you want to see what success looks like, take a look at Cade Misliski at the Hub, because he's got it going on.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger cooked to your choice.
Why Monkey Burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey Burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
So one of the concerns about coming downtown that some people have expressed is there's a lack of parking, or how far am I going to walk to my favorite bar or my favorite restaurant? Where am I going to park parallel on the meter? But we're really here to sort of debunk that myth, because there's a plethora of parking here in the downtown area. As a matter of fact, there's this great garage that I have parked my car in a number of times. And Jess, I know parking is very important to you, because you don't want to have to walk 2 miles from your car to the restaurant of choice. What's your sense of the whole parking situation downtown?
Well, definitely it's safe. I mean, you know, the garage here on Pennington, 110 East Pennington, it offers $2 parking. You know, it's a covered garage with a security guard. I think that's really important to note, because a lot of times you feel as though, you know, your car is your vehicle, your car is your way to get to work, and you don't want to leave it in a place that you're not comfortable. I have not seen a single area of this downtown tour that has been uncomfortable to park. But if you do want to park on the Pennington Garage, 110 East Pennington, directly across from 47 Scott, it's only $2 after 6 o'clock. It's a flat fee of $2 from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So you could even leave your car overnight, cab at home if you need to. And they take credit cards. Thank you.
Thanks,
they take credit cards.
Spend an evening with us at 47 Scott and Scott & Co., located downtown Tucson's emerging culinary capital. 47 Scott, serving modern comfort food for both lunch and dinner in a neighborhood bistro setting. A rotating selection of affordable wines and handcrafted cocktails complement our freshly prepared seasonal menu. Sit under the stars on our cozy brick patio or inside in a comfortable urban setting where we focus on excellent service and hospitality. Enjoy a drink before or after your meal at Scott & Co., our small cocktail lounge located directly next door to 47 Scott. With a nod to the cocktail scene of years past, Scott & Co. features seasonal drink creations unlike any other place in Tucson. 47 Scott, located downtown at 47 North Scott Avenue, across the street from the Pennington parking garage. Open for lunch Monday through Friday and dinner Monday through Saturday. Online at 47scott.com. For reservations, call 624-4747. That's 624-4747.
Continuing on our virtual tour of Tucson, Jessica Nenedick from Alliance Beverage and I are again making our way westbound on Congress. You know, we've had a chance to point out some of the iconic destinations here, the Hotel Congress, Rialto Theater. What do you see going on here, Jess?
Well, I see something very interesting, and actually, I didn't know this. Coming soon, Buffalo Exchange, new and recycled fashions to Congress. And I think that's really cool, because Buffalo Exchange is another Tucson icon. I think that we're always looking for affordable fashion, and that's great! I think it's great, right down the street from Wiggle-Rama.
Yeah, it's one of the things, I'm glad you mentioned it, because one of the things that's fascinated me over the last, you know, 12 months or so is the number of signs in windows that say, coming soon. I mean, let's be honest with one another. You know, for the last 20 years, people haven't been coming to downtown. They've been going from downtown.
Exactly. And not only that, but in the restaurant world, I mean, we've gone through a period of time where the restaurants have been going soon. You know, we've had some closures and some people that have not have not done so well. So I'm super excited to be able to say, hey, this is coming to downtown, and let's spend a little time down here talking about it.
Yeah, we just passed a great little place called the Iguana Cafe. Some music kicking out of there, people in there having a great time. Now, we have to stop here for just one moment and reflect on the magnitude of the history behind this building. We're at 200 Congress, and we are standing right in front of the Crescent Tobacco Shop and Newsstand. For all of our cigar aficionados that are listening, this was really, I believe, the very first cigar store in Tucson. It has been around here since 1908, says the sign. And, you know, it still looks like they continue to do great business. There's a lot of world-class magazines and newspapers from all parts of the world here at Crescent Tobacco Shop and Newsstand. What was your last cigar, Jess Benedict?
Oh, I can't even tell you. Years.
Well, you know, you stand in front of this place and you think, you know, if I don't smoke cigars, now I think I want to try one. Just walking into Crescent, you breathe in, quite literally, you breathe in that sense of history. And as we continue to make our way west on Congress, speaking of history, you know, we see waiting for the walk, the white Walkman sign to tell us to proceed. Again, another historic place here, the Chicago Music Store. I think I bought my kids their first drum set at the Chicago store.
I think everybody has a little memory of the Chicago Music Store, going in, looking around, seeing what kind of instrument someday would all be the rock star, playing the drums or playing the electric guitar. But for sure, everybody has history at this Chicago Music Store. It hasn't changed a bit. Looks like they got some new windows, but it hasn't changed a bit.
Yeah, we're in the part of Congress now that really has seen quite a bit of revitalization over the last 6 months to a year or so. We're standing right in front of a great place called A Steak in the Neighborhood, developed and founded by Luke Cusack. Our listeners know that we did a live remote broadcast from A Steak in the Neighborhood at 135 East Congress, so right after they first opened, a wonderful place to get a great meal. Right next to Empire Pizza and Pub, John Harrington at Empire Pizza does some great things there. He came on the show and talked about some of his award-winning pizza pies. You know, we could just go on and on and on about this historic East End of Congress, but we've got some more eating and drinking to do. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Matt.
Opening in mid-April on the corner of Congress and Stone in thriving downtown Tucson comes V Fine Thai Dining, a dining experience like nothing else in the world. At V Fine Thai Dining, you'll find a healthy array of traditional Thai delicacies, all with their signature twists, ranging from 100% natural chicken and Angus steaks grilled on a charcoal grill to fresh seafood including wild salmon, snow crab legs, scallops, mussels, ahi tuna, and jumbo prawns, all made with the freshest vegetables, fruits, herbs, and of course, Thai spices. You're also invited to step into their two full bars, including the Phuket Patio Bar, and enjoy specialty cocktails to complement their special bar menu featuring Thai-style barbecue. Or make a reservation for your next party or special event in their private dining room. At V Fine Thai Dining, they have something for foodies of all walks of life, right in the heart of downtown Tucson. V Fine Thai Dining, opening in mid-April on the corner of Congress and Stone.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell back here live in the Jolt Studio just to see how everyone's doing, listening to this great downtown walking tour that Jessica Nenadick and I had a chance to do not too long ago to help reintroduce all of the opportunities that are awaiting all of our listeners in downtown Tucson. What a great time we had in part one. You know, part two is going to play next Thursday, April the 21st. There's so much more that we have yet to report on. You're going to have to listen in again next Thursday to hear part two and get a sense of all the action that we didn't get a chance to cover in today's edition. We do want to have a chance to do our weekly trivia question as we do each and every week, and we want to provide the opportunity for any of our listeners to call in and see if they know the answer to the trivia question. And the first person that calls in with the right answer is going to get a gift certificate to enjoy lunch or dinner at Pasco Kitchen and Lounge down in Main Gate Square. So we're going to go right to it. Those of you who have been following the bartending wars across Southern Arizona know that Metro Mix sponsored Southern Arizona's favorite bartender contest. They started NCAA style with a bracket of 16. It all came down 8 and then 4.
and then the finals, and then there's one bartender, and I'm going to give you a hint, he's in downtown Tucson, one bartender that emerged the victor as the Metro Mix Southern Arizona favorite bartender. If you think you know who that bartender is, give us a call here right now at 529-3508. Again, 529-3508. We'll be right back.
When Monica Flynn opened El Charro Cafe back in 1922, Tucson's downtown had barely become a reality. And in the 88 years since that important date in culinary history, El Charro Cafe, under the guidance of Monica's great-niece Carlota Flores and family, has become not only the anchor business in downtown Tucson, but the anchor of culinary praise that graces the Tucson Mexican restaurant scene. The original downtown El Charro operates from the family home built in 1896. And is Tucson's most legendary restaurant locale. Proud inventors of the chimichanga, the topopo salad, and of course, the masters of their signature carne seca, El Charro Cafe is proud to be Tucson's Mexican food family since 1922. For more information, please visit elcharrocafe.com or call 622-1922. That's 622-1922.
Where's everyone meeting for the hottest dining, shopping, and nightlife in town? Main Gate Square, of course! Just west of the University of Arizona Main Gate on University Boulevard. A casual walk around the two-block square will take you to more than 50 of Tucson's most exciting restaurants, cafes, retailers, boutiques, and salons. Experience the best of international cuisine, including French, Thai, Greek, Indian, Irish, and a host of other restaurants representing virtually every corner of the globe. And when the sun goes down, Main Gate Square is the place to be for live music, dancing, wine and beer tastings, art exhibits, and other special events. And did I mention the shopping? Come see what all the buzz is about on University Boulevard between Park and Euclid. Visit www.maingatesquare.com to find out what awaits you today. By day or by night, there's always something here for everyone at Main Gate Square.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from the Jolt Studios here in Tucson, Arizona. Hope you enjoyed part one of our two-part walking tour of downtown Tucson, where Jessica Nenedic from Alliance Beverage and I had the chance to literally walk all around downtown Tucson to get a sense of the food and beverage action down there. We are wrapping up part one. Part two is going to be next Thursday, April the 21st. There's so much going on down there. We could not possibly squeeze in all the activity into 1 hour show. So we want to invite our listeners to listen to part two of our downtown walking tour of Tucson next Thursday, April the 21st. Anyway, there's a trivia question that is on the table right now. Mark at the studio here is ready to take your call. If you happen to know who Metro Mix decided is the Southern Arizona's favorite bartender, we gave you a little hint. He's in downtown himself. In fact, we're going to give you another little hint and tell you exactly where he works. So you might have to be a downtown cocktail enthusiast to get this. We understand it's a bit of a stumper, but I will let you know that he is the beverage manager and the bartender mixologist extraordinaire at Hotel Congress and Maynard's Market and Kitchen. And if you think you know who that might be, give us a call right here at the studio at 529-3508. Again, 529-3508 to win lunch or dinner at Chef Romero Scavo's Pasco Kitchen and Lounge on University and Euclid in Main Gate Square. So we're having a great time here. Also want to thank all of our sponsors for this two-part walking tour of Tucson: El Charro, 47 Scott, Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, V Fine Thai Dining, Hub, On a Roll Sushi and Monkey Burger, all great friends of ours, helping to introduce all of the wonderful world of what's going on downtown. We invite everybody to come and pay them a visit. Check out what they're doing. Check out their menus. Check out their bars. And say hello to them for us and let them know how much fun we had downtown. If you want to get a sense of what we're going to be doing in the future on this show, always come and check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/onthemenulive. This is where we announce all of our shows in advance, who's going to be our special guests, where we're going to be doing remote broadcasts from, and what kind of restaurants across Southern Arizona are giving away free stuff like the gift certificate we have here this afternoon. Again, facebook.com/onthemenulive. And always, please join us online at onthemenulive.com. Reminding you, part one of this two-part series is going to rerun this Saturday at noon right here on AM 1330, with part two coming next Thursday, April 21st at 5 o'clock. In the meantime, this is Matt Russell reminding you, if it's Thursday at 5, it's On the Menu Live. Have a great weekend.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
Hello, you're on the air.
AM 1330.
Tucson's Jolt.
KJLL, South Tucson.